Zach is back as number two. Mike White is expected to play on Sunday as the Lions come to MetLife Stadium. Lions, Tigers, and Bears will mind. The Lions are hot. Winners of five of their last six. They are in the playoff hunt themselves, and this will be a dogfight on Sunday. We preview Jets-Lions, and we'll make our predictions for the game. Our special guest, speaking of quarterbacks, he's the greatest Jet quarterback of all time. The only Jets quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Broadway Joe, Joe Willie, Joe Namath will join the podcast. It's a busy edition of Gang's All Here from the New York Post, and it's coming up next.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to Gang's All Here, our New York Jets podcast from the New York Post. Jake Brown here alongside my co-host. He's back. Brian Costello joining us later in the program is the legend, one of our favorite guests, one of the greats in Jets history, Broadway Joe. Joe Namath will join us as we talk quarterbacks, we talk the playoff push, we talk Mike White, Zach Wilson. Kaz, welcome back. How you feeling? How you doing?
All right. Better than it was Sunday night, but still scuffing a little bit. Powering through.
Yeah, well, you've made it here. And thanks to Jake Aspin for filling in for you. And, you know, Joe Namath talks about Mike White, Zach Wilson, the quarterbacks. And let's start there. You were there on Sunday. Can you fathom how Mike White got up and recovered not once, but twice from a rib injury that I'm in pain still watching the highlights from?
Yeah, the first one I understood. I thought he'd come back the first one. I thought he had the wind knocked out of him, it looked like. And I think that's what he said afterwards. The second one was the one, the Matt Milano hit where he basically folded in half. I thought he was done after that. So I was shocked to see him come back out of the tunnel, back into the game. But, you know, he showed his toughness, Jake, and pretty amazing. He's lost two straight games, and I feel like he's won more respect. His grip on the job has strengthened in two losses, which is unusual.
It really is. But when you have a quote like, you would have had to peel me off that field, guys will get behind that, Kaz. And I thought he had broken ribs. I mean, what is the actual diagnosis? Is it bruised ribs?
They didn't tell us the actual diagnosis, but yeah, I'm gonna guess he has some kind of bruised ribs or something.
Well, he participated in team period. What does this look like? It seems like there's all systems going. He might start on Sunday.
I don't think it's might. I think I expect him to start on Sunday, Jake. He's practicing Wednesday. Yeah, it's limited, but he's doing the team period. That tells you they think he's going to play Sunday. So I'd be surprised if he didn't play.
My worry is that he's not going to be 100%. Will he be able to get outside the pocket? Could he run? If they need a QB sneak, you know, a Jake special, he'll be able to do it. Okay.
He's going to have a vest on, I'm sure, huge rib pads. Like, as long as it doesn't affect his throwing, I think everything else is fine, you know, but it shouldn't affect him throwing the ball.
And there's always more quarterback news. The latest news is Zach Wilson goes from the clipboard and looking in pain and, you know, street clothing on the sideline to putting the uniform on as the number two. And, you know, he might be needed if Mike does get hit hard again and has to come out. Zach comes in. Kaz, as much as I'm not the biggest Zach Wilson fan, I think we could all agree this was probably the right move. Joe Flacco just can't move outside the pocket, can't move much in the pocket. Had a costly fumble when he was in there on Sunday. Big change of the game, along with Michael Carter's fumble. Two plays that didn't follow Mike White that changed the outlook of the game. Zach Wilson, number two quarterback. What do you think of the move?
Yeah, I thought it was the right move. You know, we saw Flacco Sunday, and you're like you said, he can't move right now. Zach at least can make something happen with his feet if he has to. They did win games with Zach Wilson at quarterback, even though he wasn't playing well. So I think you feel better with him in there. I think this was probably the plan all along, Jake. You know, let him be the number three quarterback for three games and then bring him back as long as he was making progress, and they say he is. So I think, you know, this is kind of exactly what you expected would happen.
Would you, if you're Saleh and, you know, White's a little bit banged up. Do you have three quarterbacks active on Sunday?
No.
No.
I think that's a waste of a roster. I think that's a waste of a spot. You figure it out. If the second one goes down, Berrios goes in there and plays quarterback, or you run Wildcat, something, you know. But, yeah, I think you just go with two.
And Jets-Lions now is a very intriguing game, to the point that this is cause has basically become a pick 'em. I mean, it's swing from Lions 1-point favorites to Jets 1-point favorites. They have won 5 of 6. Jared Goff has just been remarkable. Since week 10, he's first in the league with 0 turnovers, first in wins with 4, third with 1,311 passing yards. I think he's got something like 9 touchdowns, 0 picks. He has just been insanely good for a Lions team that everyone bought in during the preseason because they saw him on Hard Knocks. They're like, this team's fun. Campbell's incredible. He's a good coach. The bite your kneecaps. They were the fun storyline, and they could have got off to a colder start. But this team's kicking into gear here, Kaz, to the point they're 6-7. And when you look at their schedule after this game, and for their sake, you hope they're not looking ahead, because they get the Panthers, the Bears, and the Packers.
The Bears.
So they win this game against the Jets. They're in decent position to try to get one of those spots, because the Seahawks aren't taking it from anyone. The Giants can't run an offense right now. Their defense is in shambles. Lots of injuries. The Commanders, we'll see, but the NFC is pretty weak. So the Lions right now coming to this game thinking, we got a shot at the playoffs.
Yeah, pretty amazing, Jake, too. These two coaching staffs were the coaching staffs at the Senior Bowl back in January, right? Because they were two of the worst from last year that were coming back. So here they are meeting 11 months later with playoffs on the line. I don't think anyone would have thought this for either team.
Yeah, we went into this game a few weeks ago thinking, all right, those are two automatic wins. Jaguars, you feel a little bit more comfortable. They're coming off a win against the Titans. Yeah, they're an interesting offense.
And Trevor Lawrence is playing well.
Yeah. This game, MetLife has got to be rocking for this one. Quinnen Williams, they're going to need him. My gut thinks he's not going to play. Kaz, I thought he was out for the season when he was down.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play this week, Jake. They said 50-50 still, but I don't know. I think it's probably a calf strain. That could be a week, maybe two, since they're playing on Thursday night against Jacksonville. Yeah, I think he's going to be out for a little bit. But yeah, I thought he was done. I thought it was a very serious injury with the way he went down, Jake. And, you know, saw him walking off. He didn't get carted off, which was a good sign, but still was questionable about how bad it was. And I think they dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, and everyone thought that's, you know, torn ACL, done for the year. And you have to factor into the injury report that game Thursday, because you might not want to rush a guy for Sunday and have them ready for Thursday. And if you beat the Lions, obviously Thursday again becomes a must win. If you lose to the Lions, I mean, the Jaguars game, if you lose that, season's over. So it comes down to the season if you lose on Sunday.
Jake, big. I know you're a big uniform guy. I do believe the Jets will be wearing green jerseys for the first time this season on Sunday.
I know you're excited about that.
It's not confirmed, but yeah, it's pretty amazing that here we are in middle of December and they haven't worn green jerseys yet. So for all the uniform watchers out there, I do think they'll be in green on Sunday.
I have a few sitting on my bed right here, actually, because I was going through my clothes looking for my black turtleneck for a party I went to last night. And I found an Eric Decker, a Lavernius Coles jersey in there, green jerseys, some throwbacks, and a Mark Sanchez with a ketchup stain in honor of his the hot dog out of the sock on the number 6.
You don't put ketchup on hot dogs, do you, Jake?
I do, yeah. Are you a mustard guy?
Come on.
I don't get what the hate for ketchup always is.
What's the worst jersey you ever bought, Jake? Like, what's the one that was this dumbest investment? Like, the guy was gone in a year or two.
I mean, I got Brett Favre, but I think every Jet fan got Brett Favre.
Yeah, I understand everyone being excited about that.
Now I feel shameful getting Brett Favre.
Decker was not here very long.
I have a Decker.
Decker was not here very long.
He was a stud when they got him, and he was handsome, just great receiver, just
good guy. That factors in.
Jesse James Decker, come on. I mean, it's a great family.
You didn't get a Le'Veon jersey, did you?
No, I didn't. I had a feeling that relationship might not last that long, so I was like, I'm not going to get this. But the Sanchez literally has a ketchup stain still on it from like 8 years ago.
Jamal, did you buy a Jamal jersey?
I didn't buy Jamal. I was a jersey guy. I had Chad Pennington, which was a classic. Curtis Martin, classic.
Leonard?
Didn't get Leonard. Mm-hmm. I haven't got any, really. I had the Keller I got because they had it at the thrift shop, and I was like, I like Dustin Keller. So I have the throwbacks, but a lot of them, yeah, they don't stick very long. Coles was pretty long. Martin was long. Decker was not. So it was interesting to find those green jerseys on Sunday. Jets Lions 6-7 versus 7-6. 1-point favorites. Over-under 44. 1 p.m. CBS. My guys, Ian Eagle and Charles Davis, are on the call. Try to get Ian on here. He's just so busy. I texted him last week, and this guy is literally traveling like every day. I don't know how him and Bob Bischusen are the hardest working guys in the business and two of the best in the business. Of course, you can catch Bob on the radio call. Cause tough matchup here. Like I said, Goff is hot. They do give up points, though. Lions, Jets, break it down. Make your pick.
He is a fascinating one, Jake, because it's strength against strength, right? Jets defense is the strength of this team. Lions offense is the strength of their team. The other sides of the ball are not doing that great right now. The Jets offense isn't really rolling. The Lions defense has played better, but they're still not great. So I'm interested to see how the Jets stop the run. I think the Lions offensive line is probably the best line they've faced maybe all year. It's been a while. They got a really good offensive line. They're going to try to run the ball down the Jets' throats, I think. I don't think they're going to test Sauce and DJ Reed as much as just trying to run the ball and open things up. I think the Jets' defense will give up some yards, but they'll bend but don't break, keep them out of the end zone enough. And I think on offense, Bam Knight will have another nice game. I think Mike White will overcome the ribs injury and play pretty well. I am going to go Jets 23, Lions 20.
Let's go. That's one of my favorite score predictions I usually go with as well. Kaz picking the Jets. It's very rare, but that's a good sign. And of course, I'm picking the Jets after taking the Bills last week in a game that Jets almost had again. Jets will win this one. Listen, the Lions have given up 27 or more points 9 times this season. You're like, why are you saying 27? Well, it's going to take that many with that good of an offense that they have to probably win this game. Somewhere in that 20
range. Well, what about how good the Jets
range.
Defense is, Jake?
Well, that's why. I think 27, you hold them to 20, that's enough. 27-20. I'm going to say Jets 27, Lions 20. I think they hold them to 20. Defense gets the job done. Even if Quinnen doesn't play, I think they have a lot of depth on that defensive line, so the Jets will be just fine there. Hopefully they get him back against the Jaguars. This game means a lot to both these teams. Like I said, the Lions' schedule is so easy. They're looking ahead thinking, we went out, we have a shot at the playoffs. Their odds have gone up to like plus 350 or something to make the playoffs. So they were long shots earlier. They're back in it. But this Jets crowd better be rocking. I don't think I'm going to go on Sunday. It's going to be cold, too, 30 degrees. It might be a watch from home day. I think I'm going to go to the Thursday night versus the Jaguars. So I think I might skip out on this one. Enjoy it from the couch. But 27-20, Jets will win this game. And it's going to be a good one. It's going to be an entertaining game. I mean, weeks ago, we never would have thought this would be as good as it might be. And Kaz, as we look at the playoff race, Jets need help. Salah's going to be positive. He said, we control our own destiny. That's just not the case. I mean, he said, if we win out, you know, the chips will fall and we'll make the playoffs. Not really the case. They're going to need help here. The Chargers, the Titans, please win a game. I mean, you just lost the Jaguars. Please go to L.A. and beat the Chargers.
You know who they're going to catch, Jake? They're going to catch the Dolphins.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
People are talking about the Chargers and Patriots right now, but the Dolphins are scuffling. Dolphins are going into Buffalo Saturday night. They were just on the West Coast for a week. Now they got to go play in a snowstorm Saturday night. Tua seems like people have figured Tua out. Bills defense is good. I think if the Dolphins lose that one, the Jets win. The Jets now pass the Dolphins because they have the tiebreaker. And then they have the last game against them. So,
well, the issue is if the Patriots and Chargers get in, and then the Dolphins and Jets are the ones that are out.
Yes. Yeah, that would be the worry. Yeah. But I think
because they both lead the tiebreaker over the Jets right now.
Tiebreaker over the Jets. But I think the Patriots are going to fold. Chargers have an easy schedule.
I hope so, because their defense looks good. The Raiders, we could use some help from the Raiders once again on Sunday, because then it's pretty much you win either way. They get the Dolphins, Patriots later on. Then Patriots play the Bengals, who are surging hot on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Patriots, Bills to close out the year. So if the Raiders win, I'm in a lot better spirits in Vegas on Sunday. And that Dolphins game, we said last week, I hope there's some good deals.
Big game.
I hope. Listen, expense me a flight, New York Post. Fly me to Miami. Yeah. There's more to this story, by the way, and there's an invitation that came for the fiance, the engagement party in the mail. There's an official invitation. I was like, you really want to make me feel as bad as possible. I thought I saw mail from my mom. Oh, maybe it's Hanukkah, Christmas money. I open it up. It's an invitation on Jets Dolphins weekend. And it's not at a restaurant, by the way. It's at my parents' house.
Oh, you definitely can skip that.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I was like, you're not even going out to eat. I love my parents' house. Yeah. It's a beautiful home, but forget that.
You're going to be on South Beach, tell them.
Yeah, I think that's the goal. And Yeah, I saw them over the weekend. We saw MJ the Musical and then hung out, and it was my parents' 37th anniversary, so shout out to them, 37 years. My mom basically said, so you don't think you're going to be able to make it on the 7th? I'm like, I'll try, but it's not looking great. So, yeah, that's basically what I said.
Oh, yeah, you got to do the podcast that day. Sorry. Did you get a Verlander jersey yet, Jake? I'm wondering.
No, but I should. I think I might get a Senga. Big Senga guy. He's got a ghost forkball, 102-mile-hour fastball. The Mets are right now the best team in baseball, best rotation in baseball.
December.
And there's still Trey Mancini or another back coming. Not Correa, because he just got a ridiculous contract in 13 years until he's 41 years old, which is bonkers.
Where do you think he'll be in 13 years, Jake?
13 years, I'll be 44 years old. I think I'll be one of the biggest on-air personalities in the country in 13 years.
Look at you.
Remember this quote, 13 years. Wow. I would hope. If not, then I'll probably be on the streets outside Penn Station rapping for dollars.
Who'll be the Jets quarterback in 13 years?
Maybe Mike White. I don't know. 13 years, who knows? It'll be probably a second pick who's a flop. That's probably what it'll be. But in 13 years, by the time I'm 44, I hope we have a Super Bowl. And the guy who won the Super Bowl for the Jets last back in 1969, Broadway Joe Namath, is going to join us for a fun interview next on Gangs All Here.
I feel like I can play and I feel like I'm ready to roll.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All righty, joining us now on Gangs All Here, friend of the program and one of my favorite guests, favorite all-time Jets. He led Gangrene to their only Super Bowl in 1969. And oh yeah, a national championship at Alabama as well. 12 seasons, Jets QB later. A trip to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. His number 12 is retired. He's in the Jets Ring of Honor. Let's welcome back to Gangs All Here, a Hall of Fame QB, actor. You see him in the Price is Right commercials all the time after playing Plinko. Joe Willie, Broadway Joe, Joe Namath. Welcome back. Jake Brown, Brian Costello. How you been, man? What's going on?
Been healthy. Thank you very much. Brian, hello. And I don't know what that Price is Right, though. That threw me off a bit. At any rate, man, I've been good. You know, want to see the Jets win some more games here.
This has been fun, right? Like, how fun has this season been? Since we've been doing the podcast, the Jets have just been god-awful. So it's nice to have a winning season for once.
Yes, it is. And I really believe in what Coach Saul has been doing. And I'm sure the Jet fans, you guys do too, because the transformation in two short years, man, has been good. And the way I see these guys out there moving around, the enthusiasm, the quickness, the urgency, especially the defensive side. We've got a lot to look forward to.
Joe, I'm curious. Great to talk to you again. It's Brian. When they made the move at quarterback a few weeks ago, they were winning games with Zach Wilson, even if he wasn't playing very well. And it was a pretty bold move by Saleh to make the change. What did you think when they went to Mike White? And what have your impressions been of Mike White, what you've seen in these three games?
Well, I think most of us fans, Jet fans, questioned Zach's play up to that point. I mean, I know that what the record was and the wins, but still... You got to go along with what the coaches decided, because they know more than we fans know. They see things. They know what they're supposed to do. They're more critical of the performances, and justifiably. So I don't think they would have made the change had the team not felt it necessary. When I say the team, possibly some players, you know, I mean, they don't hide things from one another. You're naked in that locker room more ways than one, man. You know, you're working every day. And so I think the move was necessary. At this point, I don't know for sure if Mike White's healthy enough to play. I think the question is for us fans here, what are we going to see this week?
I mean, you've noticed it, Joe, the kind of exuberance in the locker room, like guys calling him an effing warrior, Mike effing White, all the names for him. You know, what kind of jolt can that bring to a locker room when you change quarterbacks and the offense suddenly starts moving like they have?
Well, of course, they felt like they should be playing better, and then Mike had a good start there. Now, Lady Luck is cruel sometimes with injuries, as witnessed by our offensive line, our running back, you know. And hey, we've had some bad luck with injuries, and a lot of teams have. I don't know Mike's status right now, if he's healthy enough to contribute. Do you guys know, have they announced anything about the starting quarterback this week?
Well, they're hopeful, Joe. They were hopeful on Monday that he'd be able to practice. And Mike White has 1-year-old twins, right? So I asked him Monday, how you feeling? He says, well, I was on the floor playing with my kids this morning and they were tackling me and everything was okay. So anyone out there who has small children, you know how physical that can be when you have two 1-year-olds. So he seemed to be optimistic about it. And I do think, you know, they'll have the flak jacket on him, which I'm sure you wore at some point in your career, Joe, or something, some kind of padding like that. And they'll have that. And I think they're very optimistic that he's going to play, which is amazing after watching that hit he took on Sunday.
Yeah. You know, quick old story going back. I didn't wear rib pads until a linebacker from the Buffalo Bills named Mike Stratton caught me just as I was throwing, man. He nailed me here and went in the locker room afterwards and saw Emerson Boozer taking off his pads that he had on, rib pads. Vest you could wear, and I said, man, let me try these out. And I wore rib pads ever since, you know, after that. And I do think we're not finished with Zach, and I think that he does give us the best chance to win, even though we like Flacco. The line is not as steady as you'd like because of Lady Luck and the injury, for one thing. So you got to be able to be elusive back there a bit.
Yeah, the issue is the offensive line. It's a patchwork offensive line, guys coming in and out. So we saw Flacco, the one play he's in there, he fumbled the ball, and that was a big play in the game. What were your thoughts on Zach's comments after the game that kind of blew up when he, you know, didn't really hold himself accountable? Did you ever have anything similar to that and teammates kind of look at you the wrong way?
Well, that's a couple of questions you've come up with. They're giving me answers for. But when I threw 5 interceptions in a game, you can bet you're behind that a few things were said. Of course, probably would have answered you, damn right, I let him down. We didn't score. Yeah, you're right. And we feel that way. We should feel that way. We judge ourselves initially. Did I play my best? Hey. I don't know many games, if any, that I play. I didn't play a perfect game in any of them in my mind, you know. And so did I play my best? If you didn't play your best, you let your defense down, man. I mean, the defense played beautifully. At least you say, give them the credit that given us a better chance to win. And had we done better, had we played better, we'd have won.
Joe, what do you think of I'm looking at your backdrop there and some of the Alabama stuff. There's Alabama quarterbacks all over the league now. I mean, it used to be you. They didn't produce a lot of other quarterbacks. Now with Jalen Hurts, have you watched any of Jalen Hurts and Tua down there in Florida? Mac Jones in New England. What do you think of all these Alabama quarterbacks around the NFL?
You bet I watch them. I've been watching them since their days at Alabama. I've had the pleasure of seeing those guys over there. And so I pull for them, of course. And I'm happy for their success. They're showing what kind of coaching and leadership they learned. And they came from good families to start with. They had some good guidance. But they're all outstanding players. It still is a team game. But when I see Jones up in New England, I'm pulling for New England. You know, anytime I pull him for against any, I never pull against another Jet quarterback or another Alabama quarterback. When the Jets are playing New England, I'm pulling for the Jets. You can bet on that, but not against Matt. You know, when they're playing against Miami, I'm pulling for the Jets to win, but I'm not looking to see Tua have a bad day. Oh, and Jalen, man, what Jalen's been doing. And here he comes. Remember back around when he was benched or taken out and they put Tua in the game. Some guys might have just, gone wrong, taken it the wrong way or didn't succeed, didn't keep at it the way Jalen has, man, because there have been folks that critique his play and his style of play and his passing. and he's improved. He's improved every year, and he is a tremendous leader and a winner. So I like watching the Bama quarterbacks play, of course. Oh, Bart Starr, by the way.
Bart Starr. I forgot Bart Starr. Yep.
Oh, man.
He was before you, though, Joe, right? Like, after there was a long drought after you, right? You know,
well, Richard Thomas.
Richard.
Effort, you know? Yeah, he had some good days and some odd days.
Well, don't pull too hard, Joe, for New England right now, because they're right in front of us in this playoff race, and they lead us in the tiebreaker. So we need a couple losses from them the rest of the way. Do you think, you know, this Jets team makes the playoffs, Joe?
I hope so. I hope so. I sincerely hope so. And I hope they win the championship. There's not another team out there that I'm pulling for to win the championship than the Jets to start with. That would be great. The fans deserve it. I mean, it's been a long time, but yet they've been behind the team all the way. And I know there's some folks that are going to boo now and then. Heck, we all get booed, and most of the time we deserve it when we get booed. So I hope the Jets could find a way to make the playoffs, to win, and win the championship again. Yeah, I'd love that.
Joe, I got to imagine you love these rookies, what you're seeing from them with Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner and Breece Hall before he got hurt. Now, Zonovan Knight, the running back who wasn't a draft pick but is a rookie. I mean, you know what it's like to come in and have pressure on you as a rookie. What have you thought of the way these guys have performed?
I think they're sensational. I mean, across the board, these guys are just thinking at them. They're so much bigger, faster, stronger, better prepared. You know, the guidance they've received since before high school, probably now. They're wonderful athletes, and I'm glad we have those guys in particular on the Jets team, because they just need a little help from their friends. You know, we need to get healthier. We need to get some guys offensively up front.
Have you liked, Joe, the kind of improvement from this coaching staff? I think there were some question marks last year, but it feels like the fan base is kind of all in on Saleh now.
You know what? I guess the older you get, I've been told your memory is not as good as it used to be. But I have to keep reminding myself, this is only their second year, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Feels like a lot longer, yeah.
Wow. All I can say is, wow, where we've come from in this short while with Saleh's staff, man, I think they're sensational. And if we keep on growing, man, we're in the hunt now. And taking that team this way in two short years with the young quarterback, with some other players, with the injury, I think they've done a wonderful job.
All right, Joe, I'm going to test that memory a little bit. The Jets play the Lions this week. There's not a lot of great history between the Jets and the Lions, but I think fans of a certain age remember a preseason game in Tampa against the Lions. Jake, Joe threw an interception in this preseason game, but instead of letting the guy go down the field, he went and tried to make the tackle. Joe, you ended up hurting your knee going to make the tackle. And I think that's a memory a lot of Jets fans from that age have. What did Coach Eubanks say to you after that game when you were trying to make a tackle during a preseason game?
Well, let me start out here first and want to correct something there. I didn't throw the interception. It was a first preseason game. We did have a rookie fullback named Lee.
Oh, it was a fumble. Sorry, fumble. Right. Yep.
We had a rookie fullback named Lee White. It was close to the end of the first half, right? I believe that, and wanted to give him some work. So we ran the second safest play we could behind the quarterback sneak, and that was a P10. A P10 had the fullback running straight up between guard and tackle, and handed the ball, and Lee got hit, and the ball bounced out somehow, and the guy scooped it up and started running the other way. So I ran over to cut him off, knock him out of bounds to cut him off. Whatever, I think it was Lucci that picked the ball up. And whenever we got over the sideline, Mike started to cut back, and so I got my arm around his waist, and I got flipped horizontally in the air. And then the other, maybe Paul Newmoff, a linebacker, had left his feet, and his helmet hit me right on my left knee, man, and tore ligaments. And that was one of the worst knee injuries I had, because it damaged the nerve also on my left leg. You know, you're playing instinctively. I mean, that's the way we played the game. Now, giving it thought, knowing what's going to happen, no, I wouldn't do that. I'd have knelt down with the ball instead of giving Lee a chance to, you know, something there. But that was freak. And Weeb, no, he didn't say anything. We played, he's out there playing to win.
Well, sorry I gave you an interception you didn't throw. I apologize for that. I actually thought about that in the summer, Joe. I don't know if you were watching the preseason game when Zach Wilson got hurt against the Eagles, and he scrambled, and he cut back inside. And as he cut back inside, his knee gave out. And the coaches after the game were saying, oh, my God, like, what are you doing? Like, it's a preseason game. Run out of bounds. Just run out of bounds. And Zach kind of said, well, you know, that's how I play football. Like, you know, I'm trying to get the extra yard, whether it's a August 8th or February 2nd, you know. I've heard about that play, that story before against Detroit. And weird that it was in Tampa Bay, Joe, the Jets Lions in Tampa Bay in August. It must have been interesting, but I apologize for giving you that interception.
No, well, all right. I saw Zach too. And I said, what are you doing when he did that? I mean, how many times over these recent years, the last 20 or whatever, you see guys running out of bounds? I mean, it's smart. It's a time you don't take that now. That's growing into the realization to protect yourself for the next play in a team. Yeah, so cutting back, that was immaturity. That's an effort, good effort. Yeah, but excuse me, it's up here too. What's between the ears? You know, it was a little bit of lack of maturity there, and he learned from it, and hopefully he's healed 100% from it.
Did you notice in your career the first few years you might have been a little immature and then you grew up? Because this is New York City, the biggest market, the spotlight's all on you. Did you notice a growth process like after year one or year two?
No, I did not. I thought I was mature, man. You know, we live and learn as we go along. You know, if you're mature at 22 years old, what are you, 25 or 30? You stop learning. You stop getting experiences that you learn from. I had great coaches, though. And I always knew things start at home, first of all. And I was lucky at home. And the team was, we always wanted to be a star. We always wanted to play anybody. You wanted to be the best. Playing in high school, I had a great high school coach, man, that led us to a championship. And by junior year, when he came, we were in a meeting. And he was talking about us winning a championship. And he also said a thing that was so important for me because it was the realization of what I had been doing since I was a kid. He says, guys, dream about it. If you dream about it, you can make it happen. It's all right to dream about winning. It's all right to dream about doing things, but you got to go out there and work. But dreaming about it, it was one that's fine, man. And I thought to myself, wow, that's great. You know, because I dreamt about playing football in high school and in college, you know, and pro ball, man. I thought about it, you know, daydreaming, sitting around, whatever. And that it was okay to dream. It's okay. And in a way, it taught me that, yeah, put some expectations on yourself and make it happen. Help make it happen. And if you don't dream about it, it may never happen. You know, if you dream about it, you might make it happen. Be a part of something that'll make it happen.
Well, follow up on that quick. You say dream about it. Jets fans are dreaming of a Super Bowl. Can you take us through the celebration, 1969, the parade, the aftermath of winning? Because then that ended up being, I don't know if that carried over. It must have. The Knicks win. The Mets win. It's a great year for New York. I'd love to hear about the parade and the celebration after the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. Specifically, that's New York, man. We were the second football team in New York. The Giants justifiably had the admiration and the fan base there in New York, and the Jets. The AFL came in late, you know, a lot later than the Giants. But the Giants had the fans around town, number one fans, and the Jet fans grew with us. They got together initially out there in Flushing, you know, in New Jersey, and they came from Connecticut. They grew with us. But in that New York moment, you mentioned certainly the Knicks and the Mets too. After, it was just wonderful. In 69, that was the year. It was in January when we won the championship. And when we got back there and they talked about a parade, that was wonderful. But we didn't have a parade. It was actually, we got down on the steps somewhere, a library or some official building. And Mayor Lindsay congratulated us, and there were a lot of people out there, you know, a lot of people in the crowd, Bryant Park maybe or someplace like that. And it felt real good. And we did become a major part of New York City at that time. And then we had a chance to play the Giants. Now, they call it a preseason game, an exhibition game. But Yale Bowl was 80,000 plus. There was standing room only there. And it was no exhibition game to us. It was no practice game to us. And we handled them quite well that day. And we established ourselves as the best team in town. And if you can do it there, you can do it anywhere. New York, New York. Love it.
Kaz, I never knew there was no parade. Did you know that?
I think I knew that they had a parade, right? They had a parade for the astronauts, right, Joe? Didn't they? I think they had a parade for the astronauts.
They get one, but the Jets don't? The Jets, what the hell is that about?
Yeah.
I didn't know. Even Columbus had a parade. Come on. Look at that history.
I didn't realize that the Jets didn't have one, because either the Mets one is famous, Jake. You've seen pictures of Seaver going down, waving. Yeah. So, but I guess, yeah, I've never seen anyone. Yeah.
We need our first one, Joe. Our first one coming years.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. Let's do it. And if we win the championship, by God, we'll promote that parade. And if the mayor doesn't do it, I don't think he'll get a next term.
I want Joe on a float down the Canyon of Heroes, finally getting the parade we deserve. A bottle of bubbly, a nice fur coat. And I'll be one of them with this gold blazer on, and we'll make it happen. Joe Namath, follow him on Twitter at Real Joe Namath. Check out the Joe Namath fan shop. A lot of cool gear there if you want to buy shirts or Joe Namath gear. So Broadway Joe, great to catch up with you. Let's go Jets, and hopefully we'll talk to you come playoff time.
Thank you, guys. I've enjoyed it. And anytime you want to talk, let me know.
Thank you, Joe, so much.
Yeah, he got a lot of heart. He's gonna lay it on the line for his boys. And you know, I would do the same for him. But dog.
All righty. What an interview with Joe Namath. He is so fun. I did not realize they didn't have a parade. I mean, that sounds depressing, because now you think of a Jets parade and it'll be a zoo. Jets fans have been waiting forever. That parade is going to be bonkers. You're going to have everyone from the tri-state around the country coming to New York City for that one. That'll say adios to episode 130 of Gang's All Here, our Jets podcast from the New York Post. Thanks to Andrew Hartz and the intern Josh Crawford for helping me produce the show. Thanks to Joe Namath for joining the show. We talked about earlier in the year, Hartz, my Irish roommate that I have. And Kaz was curious then, and I guess the curiosity has slipped because every game has mattered for the Jets. But we could talk about some fun stuff in the close. He was marveled, my Irish roommate, that I, and maybe this is just an impatient me. So you're sick, you have tea, you have your honey. Now, most people will boil their tea. They'll put it in a teapot, a kettle pot, whatever you want to call it, and they'll just boil it, and then they'll have it. I'm impatient. So I put water in a cup, and then I throw it in the microwave for 2 minutes. And he said to me, Hartz, he was like, I've never seen anyone do that. I mean, in Ireland, tea is big. They do it the normal way. But I guess here, you microwave it. Am I crazy for microwaving to heat up my tea?
Not at all, because I do the exact same thing too. Honestly, the only thing that I will boil on a stove drink-wise would be hot chocolate. Because I feel like hot chocolate takes, you got to take a little bit longer time for the powder to dissolve and stuff like that. When it comes to tea, all you need is hot water, and hot water in the microwave, give me that in 3 minutes over on a stove in, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes, you know?
Yeah, 5, 6, 7, it's usually like 15 minutes. I'm out, and usually I'm in a rush. I'm doing it right before we're about to record, so the voice is fresh. And I need it quick. So he found it crazy. I guess culture me with that. And I cultured him and giving him the first churro of his life. Never had a churro before. Churros are one of God's gift to men, Hearts. I love a churro. I know it's wildly unhealthy. It's got a lot of sugar. But a nice churro, and especially if it's got the cream filling in there, a game changer. I know it changed his life, never having one. So I'm glad I was able to change his life with a churro.
That's called good old American culture, even though a churro is not American whatsoever. Actually, it's funny because my brother-in-law, who's from the UK, also never had a churro. And one time we went downstairs in the subway, there were, you know, the ladies selling the churros out of the bags. And
oh, I never trust those. Oh.
I know, but he was very intrigued. He tried one and it blew his mind. And so that was his first churro. So it must be an American thing that, you know, we just embrace the all the stuff that's really not good for us and just really enjoy it as much as we can.
Yeah, it's from Spanish and Portuguese cuisine. I actually didn't know that. I thought it might have been like Egyptian cuisine or something. Shows you how cultured I am, but well, that's enough for Food 101. Kegs all here. Follow us on Twitter at Jake Brown Radio, at Brian Kies, at Andrew Hartz. Catch up on all old episodes you may have missed by subscribing to Gangs All Here wherever you get podcasts. That's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Amazon. Make sure you subscribe and rate and review. Give us a 5-star rating if you also like pretzels, churros, and the Jets. Subscribe to the New York Post Sports YouTube to watch full uncut episodes of the show and clips. For Brian Costello, I'm Jake Brown. We will return after that big Jets-Lions game at MetLife. Hope you all enjoy the game. We also will preview the Jets-Jaguars game on Thursday. So there will be no preview episode separate next week because of the early game on Thursday. So we'll have the post game slash preview show Monday morning, 5 a.m. drop. And then we'll have a post game show Friday at noon drop. We'll record Friday morning and react to the Jets Jaguars game. Hopefully after two Jets wins and a 9-6 record and right back in the thick of the race. Thanks everybody for listening. The gang's all here, and I could say it since Hanukkah's on the way. Happy holidays, everybody.
I hope they win the championship.